Angel Rebo is the CEO confidant. Well, that makes it sound like he's into some secretive cloak and dagger stuff, but I promise I couldn't be further from the truth. Guy's awesome. Turns out he had a bit of a spiritual awakening back in 2015 where he realized he could impact a ton of people on a broader scale doing what he was doing already. His mission is to help corporate CEOs and entrepreneurs get more exposure and boost their bottom line. Listening to this episode, you'll learn what his view is on time and energy and how money fits in and is actually an exchange of that energy instead of just being a consumable resource. This father of three also helps underprivileged children with another venture of his, and he's got an energetic drive to help as many people as possible. Reach out to him anytime on LinkedIn or via email at angel@angelrebo.com. Enjoy the listen. Things have been going good for you this year. Like, have you, you got any crazy big dreams and aspirations for 2021? Or are you just going to keep doing the same thing or what?
No. I keep on increasing my exposure dramatically. So it's going to be an interesting year. Actually, I've been asked to be on an ABC show tomorrow. So let's see.
Oh, well, hopefully this is good practice for you, man.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm on podcast every day. So thank you.
Oh, man. That is so cool.
I made it a part of my strategy. So thank you. Absolutely. I'm very blessed that you wanted me to be on your show. Sorry.
I appreciate it, man. Everybody has got like a unique story, and I'm kind of, just between you and me, I am addicted to hearing stories about how people started off their businesses, right? So it's really cool. It's like, with 8 billion people on the planet, I'm going to be busy doing this for a while. So, but it's a lot of fun.
Good for you. Yeah, of course.
So what is your company? What do you do?
So basically I both corporate CEOs and established entrepreneurs hire me to bridge the gap globally for expansion and exposure. So after being more than 20 years, working in corporate America and helping, executives and CEOs with accelerating the growth of their businesses, when I established by myself, in 2016, I decided to do that systematically and help, both established entrepreneurs and corporate CEOs with exposure and expansion, because it's a mixture of business development and expansion. Exposure. I love marketing. I'm actually a LinkedIn influencer. I'm very active on LinkedIn right now.
Oh, nice. Nice. So you got that little blue in square next to your name?
Yes, exactly.
Man, I'm so jealous. What does it take to get one of those? Anyway, do they just tag you and be like, hey, Angel Rebo, you're up. Like, what's it take to get one of those?
You mean to be
on LinkedIn?
About the logo?
Yeah.
Oh, like, no, I'm not broadcasting live on LinkedIn, if that's what you're asking.
No. I mean, so like when you get the little in logo next to your name, like, I'm an influencer. Like, what do they just randomly pick you, or do they just decide, or do you apply? Like, how did you get it?
Oh, no. I'm an influencer because I exercise it. So because I am in practice. So they have not called me an influencer, LinkedIn influencer, as a title. And I understand what you mean.
Okay.
No. I'm an influencer, but they have not called me an influencer.
Okay.
So I call myself an influencer. Okay.
Hey, I do too. Good. We are unfluencers, Angel. That's what we do. Well, so what was it? So you said if I understand right, you started your company in 2016, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was it that made you decide to just start up your own thing? Like, was there a catalyst for that? Was it, what happened?
Actually, there was a spiritual experience that I had in 2015.
Oh, cool.
So I was still working in corporate America, and I was in Mexico City. And as any other, week, I had so many things to do that I had to postpone my flight on Friday night back to Dallas Fort Worth Airport. And because I had a lot of work to do. So unfortunately, I prioritized my work against my family. So I woke up this morning. I remember very well the hotel room, everything. I woke up this morning and I went to the shower. It was almost 8 a.m. And as soon as I went into the shower, I jumped into the shower and I started to feel the water. I felt that incredible rush of, you know, I don't know how to call it, of energy or whatever that was that I had never felt before.
Yeah.
And all those images of things I had lived, you know, for the previous years, I lived in Latin America since 2010, mm-hmm. when I moved from Europe. And I started to feel those, to see all those images of, you know, two different, very distinct, you know, let's say audiences, right? So first, every time I was doing my, you know, my job and I was going to a specific, you know, manufacturing plant because I was basically developing businesses for different American companies.
Right.
Every time I would go to one of those facilities, I would talk to the, you know, most influential people in that place, typically CEOs, C-level executives, because I was closing business with them. Mm-hmm. I was showing them some technology. You're a technology guy, so you understand this. So I basically was showing them product lifecycle management thing, you know, software and things related to engineering, these kind of things. But in order to get to that place physically, to get to those, you know, plants and facilities and talk to these very influential people, typically those facilities will be on very, let's say, underprivileged areas, you know, deprived areas. And I would meet, if you go to Latin America, outside resorts, right, outside the holiday resorts, you will see that there's obviously a lot of poverty. And every time I would go to those places, there would be all those kids that would ask me, hey, can we take care of your car while you are inside the plant? Can we help you wash your car? Can we, you know, clean your windshield? Can we, would you be open to buy some gum, some candies from us? So, you know, I was consistently, you know, interacting with very highly influential people and at the same time with the most deprived, underprivileged people in Latin America, which were the kids. So all those images came to me that day, and it was so profound and it was so intense that like never I had had before, never, literally, that I decided I think I have to do something with this. And I think that if it's not me, nobody else is going to do it. Who else can have a, you know, a nice influential, you know, status in a continent, because I'm reaching out to all those companies, you know, thousands of companies, and at the same time being sensitive about helping those kids. And actually it was that it was the final, let's say, precipitator or the final reason why I said, okay, so, you know, enough is enough. And I think that I have to take action. So besides what you asked me before, which is what I do for a living, which is my consulting business, mm-hmm. and, you know, helping, you know, CEOs and established entrepreneurs with my consulting and coaching business. Besides that, I actually launched my foundation. It's called Wisdom for Kids. And what we do is we help underprivileged kids in Latin America become entrepreneurs using their local resources. Wisdom for Kids. You can Google it. It's very easy to find.
That is really cool. You know, there's something special about people when they hear the call to do something great and they listen to it. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs probably have felt that same pull towards something bigger and greater than themselves. And they're like, I can't not do it. I have to, you know. There are plenty of people that say, oh, it's too scary, I can't do it. And they just kind of put it aside. But, you know, when you hear that call, you can't ignore it. You got to do something about it. I love that. That's really cool. Well, what have been... Just on your entrepreneurial journey, right? Like, what have been some big challenges that you've overcome? Do you have got a story in there, I'm sure?
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't, right? I mean, very often when I'm very involved here in the entrepreneurial community in Dallas, Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, just before the year end, I gave a couple of webinars about pivoting and about, you know, reinventing yourself to the startup community here in the area. And someone asked me, you know, what are the main mistakes you've made, right? So, right. You know, when I left corporate America, I mean, I had a nice financial cushion and everything, but I was really slow in making the important decisions. And which were those decisions? Asking for help is the number one thing, you know, mm-hmm. asking for help. So, when you're changing from working at a corporation, you have all that support and people helping you do ABC, whatever it is that you do. And suddenly you are by yourself, you need help. And you think that you have to do that everything by yourself, and that's wrong. you definitely need help, and you have to, you know, you have to embrace the fact that you need help and you have to look for help proactively. To shorten that period of time in which, you know, you have money, but eventually you will run out of money, right? If you keep on using your money, right. You know, that's one thing. The second thing I would say, it was probably that I was not that clear on what I really wanted to do. And it's not that I didn't have the idea of doing what I'm doing today. It's that, oh, but what if I'm not successful? What if I should be doing something else? What if, you know, all those what ifs, all those self-doubts, you know, all that imposter syndrome, even, you know, when you think, oh my God, you know, you have never been an entrepreneur before. Although you have taught a lot of entrepreneurs, because the funny thing is that I not only was closing business with highly influential people from large corporations in the Americas and in Europe before, but also I was, you know, we had a lot of business partners and I was helping those business partners to grow their businesses. But still, you know, you think that I was in doubt. And if I started again, actually my mindset would be not what if, but why not? Okay, why not? Why not taking this? Why not doing this now and then see what happens? Because then as soon as you start doing something consistently, other things happen and other things show up in your life and show up in your business. You know, things that I mean, really difficult situations were when I was running out of my savings. You know, that was a difficult one. That was scary.
Yeah.
You know, that was really, really, really scary. Because even if you have a budget, even, you know, I had never had a budget myself in my life ever. You know, but suddenly a budget is crucial. You need a budget.
Yeah.
And you need to follow that budget, you know, and also you are ashamed or embarrassed, right? Of telling the family, you know, we have to adapt. We have to change things now because, you know, the situation has changed. So although I had these big, great ideas and I was executing on them, there's still things that you have to adapt and you have to be humble enough and, well, not humble enough, courageous enough mm-hmm. to share with the ones that you love and the ones that you're around you that depend on you to tell them, hey, that's the situation and that's what we should be doing, you know? And also going back to the imposter syndrome, you know, going back to this imposter syndrome, it wasn't until I literally sat down and started to make some numbers that I realized the amazing work I had done throughout my life. You know, we tend to think, no, what you have done is not really that important, but it is. You have really helped so many people and you have really done so many great things that you're not aware, you just don't think about them, but it's really nobody like you out there, mm-hmm. regardless, even if they've been at the same college, they have the same degree, even if they've worked at the same company, nobody is able to provide the same service or product to someone else. Nobody but you. You're going to do it in a different way. Even again, you're a technology guy, right? So mm-hmm. even doing what you do, there's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people doing similar things, right? But you do it in a different way. Why? Because it's you, because it's your experience, it's because of what you have learned. It's because of the, you know, of the wins and the losses. It's because you have failed and because of the lessons you have learned, right? So it's the same with everybody. And, you know, I mean, I remember being in deep, deep, deep fear at some stages of my initial entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah.
I have to say, Michael.
Yeah. Oh man, if you're not feeling scared, man, you're not doing it right. If you're not scared, because mm-hmm. it is crazy. Well, when, you know, talking about imposter syndrome, I mean, that's something that I know a lot of people struggle with. And when that crops up, usually we're thinking of like our own shortcomings. Like we know ourselves better than anybody else knows us, but such as human nature, we're going to focus on the bad things that have happened. And then it's like, oh, I'm a failure. I'm a fraud. They're going to find me out. But that's a good tip though. When you said you just write out the things you've done, what have you succeeded with? And you'll have a big long list of stuff. There's something else too that reminded me when you were talking about, you know, just stepping out and doing, you know, getting the guidance and things like that. There's something my father-in-law told me years ago. I was like, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do in my life, you know? And he says, well, you can't steer a parked car. And when I heard that, I was like, that's amazing, you know, because I've been sitting there thinking, like, where am I supposed to go? What direction am I supposed to do to go in? But unless you get the car moving forward, you're not going to be able to steer it. I told him years later, I said, hey, somebody told me this, and it really made a big impact. I said, you know who told me that? He goes, who? And I said, you, don't you remember? And he's like, no. He didn't remember saying it. It's like the most profound thing you could say to me. And it's like, you don't remember? You don't remember saying that? So, but yeah, it, sometimes you just got to step out and just do some stuff and trust that things will guide you where you need to go.
Two things here. Exactly. Number yeah. one is my favorite mantra that I use consistently with everybody around me and mm-hmm. mostly with my clients is take imperfect action now. Take imperfect action now. Those are my favorite four words. Take imperfect action now. Because, you know, I mean, just do it. Just try. How do you, I mean, even if you fail, what's the worst thing that can happen? Okay. So let's say I'm starting out today. Today is the number one day for me as an entrepreneur. And I'm trying to offer you a service. And I say, okay, so I would like to provide you that service. Would you allow me to try with you? You know, what are you going to say? You're probably going to say yes, right? Okay, but well, let's set up an appointment. But let's say that I'm so good in sales that I even convince you to pay me $500 for a coaching session, right? So what's the worst thing that can happen? The worst of the worst, right, is that after that session, you tell me, Angel, you suck. You're such a bad coach.
Yeah.
You do it so well. I mean, all those pieces of advice that you gave me for my business were so wrong. Okay, so what am I going to do immediately after that? After you make me like face the raw reality of my bad services on day one. I'm going to ask you, okay, give me some feedback. Tell me why what I gave you today, what I told you today was bad. And then you will give me your feedback, right? Because obviously mm-hmm. it matters, right? What am I going to do after you give me your feedback? Okay, I will bring that in, right? I will think about it. I will try to make it better. And obviously I will write that down because I really want to learn that. I really want to remember that you, my first client, you know, you told me this, right? So guess what? We did that day one. We did that day one. I probably, most of the entrepreneurs do that on day what? Mm-hmm. On day 180, which is 6 months. On day 140, which is 120, which is 3 months. You know what I mean? So I consider businesses and people, you know, just a form of energy.
Yeah.
If you want, I mean, money is a form of energy. Money is energy, you know, in the form of something that we have agreed on exchanging, and it has value for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. So as soon or the more, you know, we delay the process of going and putting our energy out there with other people, the more difficult it's going to be for us to receive some energy back and understand what we have to do better. It's as simple as that. It's all about energy. We are exchanging energy. You pay me, you know, $500. It's, you know, it's $500 worth of energy. And I'm giving you the value of my advice, blah, 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 whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. So again, it's like, it's the fear that blocks us all the time, consistently, from taking action and from having the first reaction from the market. We want to know. I mean, right? Who wouldn't like to know exactly how the market is going to react to our products or services? You tell me.
Yeah.
I would love to. If I told you I could sit you down with the CTO of, let's name a company here in the Dallas, PepsiCo. And he has a nice budget, right? I mean, can you imagine the PepsiCo budget, you know, for technology for 2021?
Yeah.
How many billions of dollars? Would you like to have a 5-minute conversation with that guy?
Yes, I would.
You tell me. Exactly. Exactly. Just a 5-minute conversation. And you know exactly what you're going to tell this guy, right? Probably probably you would like him to speak for 4 minutes and a half and you for 30 seconds. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because yeah. you really want to know what this guy needs and what this guy is all about, right? Because you have this one-time opportunity. So it's the same thing. We don't consider time We don't give time the importance that it has. And we just allow ourselves to slack.
Yeah, we do. Time is a non-renewable resource. That's something I've learned about myself is just, okay, how do I manage time? How do I make sure I'm spending time in the right places? Man, you've really picked up some cool things your career. Yeah, time.
Thank you. Well, and it's all about, I have to say, the same as you. I mean, it's all about the more I expose myself, the more I try to help people and companies, the more I learn. It's as simple as that. The more I learn, the more I expose myself, the more I learn. More I expose myself, the more I learn.
Well, and then going back to before about fear, you know, what I've heard is that fear is actually not real. You know, we make up scenarios like, oh my goodness, if this happened, oh, that would be terrible. And you get to that point and it's like, well, okay, that happened. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And I've just had to learn, like, it's just information. It's just data, you know, like you were saying before, you ask for feedback. Okay, well, okay, I sucked. So how can I do better? What, you know, help me quantify it so I can improve, right? It's just information. And we take it so personal and we get afraid about, oh my goodness, I can't do this. I can't take the risk. And if you just mitigate that fear and just make it go away and realize it's fake, then you're golden.
It's like, I remember when I started my sales career in the 90s, that the goals that I had in front of me, I had to make X number of calls, blah, blah, blah. But it was, how many appointments do I get for my, in this case, I was an inside sales guy in Europe, and I had to generate appointments for my my field reps, right?
Right.
And it was so wrong, if you think about it, because I would have to make literally, you know, over 100 calls in the beginning to get just one appointment set. But after many years, I heard people saying, no, you should set an objective, a goal of people that hang up on you, of people that say no, you know? So get yourself a goal of how many rejections you have had. So you are achieving, you consider the rejections positive. Mm-hmm. Consider the rejections positive. Because with every rejection, not only you learn, but you make progress towards the final goal, which is, in my case at that time, getting an appointment for a field sales representative, right? So it's that simple. But we all the time, we are so hard on ourselves. I would say even that the education system, you know, what we learn, the way we are raised, we are so hard on ourselves. We are told to be so perfect. You know, we are told all the time, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. So at the end of the day, oh my God, we are so hard on ourselves, mm-hmm. that it's so difficult to let go that, you know, we put so many, oh no. I mean, imagine I call you like in 30 minutes after this conversation today, Mike, and I tell you, yes, you have an appointment with the CTO of PepsiCo today, right? So, and you only have 30 minutes to prepare for that. You got to give it your best shot, right?
Right.
And it is what it is. You know, I mean, you can do two things. You're going to get super nervous, or you just say, yes, I did it. And I'm going to be myself for these 300 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. Just be yourself. And whatever happens after that, just, you know, be compassionate with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Again, I think we're too hard on ourselves.
We are. What do you wish someone told you about business ownership 5 years ago?
Excuse me? Say it again?
What do you wish someone would have told you about entrepreneurship 5 years ago?
Definitely. This is why it's my mantra. It's like, don't wait. Don't wait. Ask for help. As I said before, don't wait. Just take stock of the situation. Take a pencil, write down, talk to as many people as possible. That's one thing that I didn't mention before, which is collaboration. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so misunderstood. I think that collaboration is something that we should do on a daily basis. I know that we grow up talking about competition. You know, we grow up saying there's so much competition out there that you have to be the best, and you have to study your strategy, and you have to be the best, you know, with your marketing strategy to be able to win all those contracts. I actually think that if for an entrepreneurship, myself 5 years ago, if I had explored and exploited collaboration much more, I would have done so much more, so much faster. Really collaborating with people that they were, or maybe not, but in a better situation than myself, and just give them my value. Again, it's all about, you know, the value that they already carry inside of me. Mm-hmm. That thing that nobody else but me can deliver. Start doing that. Start using that to your advantage and start collaborating with people. And I think that I said that it's misunderstood before, because I think that, you know, there's something called the law of reciprocity. Mm-hmm. Collaborating means really reciprocity, but real reciprocity. Real reciprocity. Let's say you offer me to do a development, a technology development for me, right? But I said, but I don't need it. But you know, I must say, I don't need it. But maybe after a half an hour conversation, you convince me that there's an opportunity for me in related to technology that you could add value to my life, right? And it's the same with me. Maybe I could convince you. Well, convince you means having a conversation. You know, that's what it means. Having a conversation in which, you know, some of the value I can provide you to you is of value for you, right? So I think that very often we speak about collaboration so lightly that nothing ever gets done. Nothing ever happens in that relationship. And I think that we should be taught about how to really collaborate among us and how to really, really in practice exchange value for the respective businesses or lives of the people who are collaborating. Honestly, I think we do a very poor job. There should be a subject on elementary schools called collaboration.
I could just picture like first graders trying to figure this out. And it's like, well, I mean, it doesn't help that we're generally selfish creatures, you know, like we're usually thinking of ourselves. Collaboration is a thinking of the other person for the most part, you know, so that's a hard thing to learn.
But when I go to Latin America and teach kids, underprivileged kids, I teach them entrepreneurship through a series of workshops. I all consistently, you know, we start at very young age. I think the youngest ones are 6 years old, 6, 7 years old. Mm-hmm. I consistently see this. There's nothing more straightforward than a kid. There's nothing more clear, more genuine. They tell you what they feel. They don't think a millisecond before they respond. That's what I think, that if we started to talk about collaboration in first grade, you know, primary school, mm-hmm. I think that magic would happen. Magic would happen, right? I mean, the ones that maybe play band in middle school or play sport in middle school, mm-hmm. they started talking about being part of a team, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I get that. But most of the time, again, I think that the kids know many more answers and much better than we as adults.
Yeah,
because we are always in the mode as parents. I have three kids. As parents, we're always like the number one thing that we have as parents is they have to leave, right? Our kids have to leave. Our children have to make it, right? Have to make it through high school, maybe even through college, and then we are done, right? Then it's their lives, right? Yeah. We are done. You know, we release them. They are discharged from our lives, right? But in reality, they have so much more to offer. And I think that's why I think that being able to serve underprivileged kids and being in constant contact with kids with no agenda but to inspire them and to help them to do something else with their lives, it's so refreshing for me for the rest of the work that they do every day.
That is cool. Well, you do some cool stuff, man. I'm really glad to get to know you. Well, it looks like we're almost out of time here, so I want to leave the listeners with this. So if they want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to contact you or find out more about what you got going on?
Thank you so much. So yeah, the easiest way is I'm very active on LinkedIn, as we said before. So you can go to LinkedIn and you will see me. My brand is the CEO Confidant, the CEO Confidant. So you go to LinkedIn, Angel Rebo is my name. Angel, like angel as in heaven, and Rebo is RIBO. If you want to send me an email, it's very easy. My address is angel@angelrebo.com. So, and I respond to all the emails, all the messages on LinkedIn. everywhere. So thank you very much for the opportunity today, Mike, and thank you everybody listening to us today.
Thank you for being available, and I hope you have a good time on the TV tomorrow.
Absolutely. Right, I will. Thank you so much.
All righty. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on, and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.